a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate will come to order. Leading us in prayer today is Pastor Paul Bly of the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Following today's prayer will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by the pages of the day, Cassandra Pease and Rebecca Pease of Centerville.
Let us pray. All-knowing and almighty God, oh, how you love us. In so many ways, it just boggles our minds if we stop and think of it. Help us to love you back with constant prayers and dedicated work. Bless this meeting of the Senate and the communications and the decisions that they will be done well here for the sake of the bettering of our state and all the people who reside in it. Give to these senators wisdom and guidance, patience and compassion, a spirit of truth and integrity as they go about this very important work. We pray for all the employees of this state. We pray for the pages, for the lobbyists. Bless them and protect them, and bless all of our families wherever they may be. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Abdallah, Adelstein, Ahlers, Bartling, Bradford, Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnos, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson, Tom, Hanson, Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howey, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Jurstead, Klochek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Rodenschmidt, Teason, Trebek, Barry, Valley. There's a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 13th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Is there a second? The motion is to approve the journal. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Members of the Senate, please join me in welcoming a former colleague of this legislature, former Representative Mike Wilson, who's up in the gallery. Please stand and be recognized, Mike. Also in the gallery today, we have citizens from across South Dakota participating in Children's Day at the Capitol, including South Dakota Voices for Children's Youth Advisory Council, their board of directors, and representatives of the 30 organizations supporting Children's Day. Would you all stand and be recognized, please? Voices for Children. Welcome. Also, Senator Peterson asked the Senate to welcome to the Senate gallery Mr. Hofer and the Dubrick High School government class. Everyone from Dubrick, would you please stand and be recognized? There they are back there. Welcome. Senator Abdallah.
Personal privilege?
Yes, that's granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like the body to welcome Paul Evenson, Ron Tollerud, and Gary Lindgren, American Legion Sioux Falls, and Rick Barge, a provost of the Sioux Falls VFW, Gene Murphy, adjutant, disabled American veteran, Sioux Falls.
Gentlemen, be recognized. Thank you for being here. Also, I'm told the future business leaders are here today visiting the Capitol. Would you all stand and be recognized? Future business leaders. Welcome. And finally, Senator Trebek Barry asked the Senate welcome to the Senate Gallery Lake Area Tech student Tel Summerall, who's here with Skills USA and has been shadowing her today. Is Tel here? There he is. Welcome, Tel. We'll move now to reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Government Operations and Audit respectfully reports it has had under consideration Senate Bill 99, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Craig Teason, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Education respectfully reports it has had under consideration Senate Bill 121, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass, and Senate Bill 88 and recommends said bill do pass, and House Bills 1021 and 1024, and recommends said bills do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Cooper Garnos, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 110 and recommends said bill do pass, and Senate Bill 54, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass, and the nominations of Kenneth D. Elbers and Jack Heeb and recommends confirmation of said appointments, and the nominations of Timothy Reich and Dennis Kemick and recommends confirmation of said reappointments. Jean G. Abdallah, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 85, which was amended and recommends said bill be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 75, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass, and Senate Bill 86 and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1013 and recommends said bill do pass. Larry Roden, Chair.
Members of the Senate, I've recognized a few individuals who are shadowing today, but we have among us many such shadows. They are here with the Career and Technical Student Organization members from across South Dakota. I'd like them all to stand and be recognized at this time. All the shadows and student career recognition. Welcome again. Senator Olsenels, we also recognize and welcome to the Senate Gallery Bart Sample, who is the City Commissioner of Flandreau. Mr. Sample, welcome, sir. Finally, Senators Klocek and Garnos ask the Senate welcome Rick Toller of Wagner, Southeast South Dakota Head Start Coordinator. Mr. Toller, where are you, sir? There we are. Welcome. We'll move now to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1035, 1062, 1069, 1070, 1071, 1088, and 1092, which have passed the House and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Karen Gertis, Chief Clerk.
Are there any motions or resolutions? Seeing none, we'll move to consideration reports of committees.
Senator Knudsen moves that the reports of the Standing Committees on Taxation on Senate Bill 33 is found on page 177 of the Senate Journal. Also, Commerce on Senate Bill 68 is found on page 176 of the Senate Journal. Also, Health and Human Services on Senate Bill 74 is found on page 176 of the Senate Journal. Also, Taxation on Senate Bill 78 is found on page 177 of the Senate Journal. And also, State Affairs on Senate Bill 82 is found on page 178 of the Senate Journal. Be adopted.
Is there a second? The motion is to adopt the reports of standing committees. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. First reading in reference of Senate bills and joint resolutions.
Senate Bill 171, an act to create an additional classification of real property and provide for its assessment and to revise certain provisions concerning the taxation of such property. Senate Bill 172, an act to provide for the assessment of certain agricultural land as non-crop land. Senate Bill 175, an act to provide for the title registration, licensing, and operation and use of off-highway vehicles to establish a dedicated off-highway trails trust fund to provide for administration of the fund and to make an appropriation of the fund. Senate Bill 176, an act to revise certain provisions regarding exceptions from billboard regulation.
For those of you in the gallery, the front desk just had the first reading of Senate bills. These bills are just now introduced into the Senate. The Constitution requires that they be read by their title at the very beginning. And this dates from the days before the Internet. Nowadays, it's easy for a person to see what bills are introduced, but back before those days, it was important to find out what bills were being introduced through this means. So That's what was going on just now. Those bills now will be referred to a committee of the Senate for their recommendations. To the Committee on Appropriations is referred Senate Bills 174 and 177. To the Committee on Commerce, Senate Bills 168, 169, and 173. To the Committee on State Affairs, Senate Bill 170. To the Committee on Taxation, Senate Bills 171 and 72. And referral to the Committee on Transportation, Senate Bills 175 and 176. First reading of House bills and joint resolutions.
House Bill 1062, an act to provide for certain mandatory training for county coroners. House Bill 1070, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the voidability of gambling contracts. House Bill 1071, an act to revise certain provisions relating to parental liability for willful acts of a child and to revise the limitation on recovery. House Bill 1092, an act to revise certain provisions concerning continuing liens on wages by garnishment. House Bill 1035, an act to revise certain provisions regarding boat license decals and boat numbering. House Bill 1088, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the rights of certain new vehicle dealers and to declare an emergency. And House Bill 1069, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the transportation of alcoholic beverages and to authorize transportation by religious organizations under certain circumstances.
Those House bills, which just had their first reading, have passed the House of Representatives and they've now come over to the Senate for consideration by this body. They will be also referred to Senate committees. To the Committee on Commerce is referred House Bill 1069. To the Committee on Judiciary, House Bills 1062, 1070, 1071, and 1092. To the Committee on State Affairs, House Bill 1088. And to the Committee on Transportation, House Bill 1035. Members of the Senate, just a minute ago, Senator Abdallah introduced a number of our veterans organizations, commanders, and leaders, and a couple of folks who were not present at that time but now have arrived, Rick Barge, the provost of the Sioux Falls VFW, and Gene Murphy, adjutant of the DAV. They're right up above me. Welcome, gentlemen. Also, Senators Gillespie and Gerstead wish us to welcome, and we all want to thank, the doctor of the day, Dr. Dan Heineman, who's been serving from Canton here today. Dr. Heineman, good to see you. I think you would also be interested to know that Dr. Heineman is a venerable member of the former member of the Logan Patrol 4-H Club. I know that with certainty. We've received some more reports from standing committees, and without objection, we'll revert to order of business 5 to take them up. Is there an objection? Seeing none, we'll take those reports now.
Mr. President, the Committee on Commerce respectfully reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 4 and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Senate Bill 57, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass. Senate Bill 60, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. And Senate Bill 96, which was referred to the Health and Human Services Committee. Russell Olson, Chair.
We'll return now to our regular order of business and take up a second reading of consent calendar items.
House Bill 1030, an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code.
House Bill 1030 was reported out of committee with no dissenting votes and a unanimous due pass recommendation. Thus, it's been placed on the consent calendar. The consent calendar, that is. And no debate is allowed, only questions for clarification. Are there any questions on House Bill 1030? Seeing none, the question is House Bill 1030 on the consent calendar. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling? Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray? Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knudsen? Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebekberry?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Senator Gray? Gray? Senator Gray? Senator Knudsen?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 33 ayes, 2 excused.
So the consent calendar item, House Bill 1030, has been approved by an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is agreed to. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 48.
Senate Bill 48 had its second reading yesterday and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks on Senate Bill 48?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, honorable members of the body. I was able to get the questions answered yesterday, and so I'm going to bring you the bill today. Senate Bill 48 deals with the Extraordinary Litigation Fund. This year, in fact, we had a litigation with respect to prison siting in Rapid City. You, most of you, remember the situation. I have lots of facts about it, but what I can tell you is that we need to appropriate $944,610 to make this fund work for the rest of this year, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 48? Seeing none, the question is Senate Bill 48. As a special appropriation, a two-thirds majority vote is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The question is Senate Bill 48.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling? Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
No.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles? Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebekberry?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 33 ayes, 1 nay, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 48 has received an affirmative vote of a two-thirds majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 26, an act to make an additional appropriation to the Board of Regents to construct an addition to the Northern State University Joseph H. Barnett Center.
Senate Bill 26 has had a second reading now and is up for final consideration. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Nordstrup.
Thank you. A year ago, I came before this body and asked permission to allow the supporters of Northern State to build an addition onto the Barnett Center. This body voted to approve that. After the approval was done, we found out that there were more willing supporters and more money could be raised, and I'm back asking for permission to build a larger addition on. And three things have changed since the last time this body gave approval. One is the size of the building has increased from 4,228 feet to 30,727 feet. The cost of the addition has gone from $500,000 to $3.2 million, and the addition has gone from the north side of the building to the south side of the building. This new addition will house locker rooms for the men and the women's basketball team, office space, weight training room, wrestling rooms, and film rooms. So with that, I would ask your permission to allow the supporters of Northern to pay for a new, improved Northern State University.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 26? Seeing none, the question is Senate Bill 26. Again, this is an appropriation, and so a two-thirds affirmative vote is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Grave?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
No.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
No.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek Berry?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 32 ayes, 2 nays, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 26 has received an affirmative vote of a two-thirds majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is agreed to.
Senate Bill 47, an act to authorize a carryover of the fiscal year 2010 state aid to special education appropriation to fiscal year 2011.
Senate Bill 47 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Ahlers.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. This bill will allow the carryover of the fiscal year 10 state aid to special education to the fiscal year 2011 to meet our federal maintenance of effort. The state receives a substantial amount of IDEA funding from the federal government that flows through the Department of Education that goes to our local schools for special education on a yearly basis. In order to maximize the federal funds of IDEA for the local school districts, the state must maintain maintenance of effort to receive total state allocation. Basically, the maintenance of effort says that the state must make available the same amount of funding as the prior year. The state received an additional IDEA funds through the stimulus package for 09 and 10 and 10 and 11 school year, totaling $32.4 million. As a result, as anticipated, these funds will dramatically lower requests for the Extraordinary Cost Fund during fiscal year 10. Thus, the proposal is to carry forward the savings realized in fiscal year 10 to 11 in order to meet the federal maintenance of effort for fiscal year 2011. State aid to special education costs are estimated to come in at $42,732,190 in fiscal year 10. And currently, the state has made available $49,390,365, plus $2.5 million was carried from fiscal year 9. The estimated $6.6 million savings is proposed to be carried forward to meet the obligations in fiscal year 2011, including the federal maintenance of effort level. This carryover allows the fiscal year 2011 appropriation for state aid to special education to be reduced by $4 million, which is included in the fiscal year 11 governor's budget. If this legislation does not pass, only 5.75% of the fiscal year 10 appropriation could be carried forward for the extraordinary costs per codified law 13-37-40, which would be only $2.6 million. Thus, you would need to increase the state aid for special education appropriation in the budget by $3.9 million to meet the federal required maintenance of effort. I ask you to support this bill. Hopefully, there'll be no dissenting votes in this one. And I stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 47?
Mr. President.
Senator Klocek.
I rise in support of the good senator's comments, and we'll be voting for this. This is another example of our federal government helping And we need to sometimes thank the federal government to always be so critical of them on our programs here for education, especially, and also Tom Oster at the Department of Education for a great job that they're doing. Thank you, Mr. President. Honorable members of the body.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Seeing none, the question is Senate Bill 47. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling? Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson-Tom?
Aye.
Hanson-Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim? Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klochek?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Senator Nelson? Senate Bill 47. Mr. President, there are 34 ayes and one excused.
Senate Bill 47 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is agreed to.
Senate Bill 63. An act to provide for the establishment of a pilot charter school in South Dakota if the Department of Education receives a federal grant to fund it.
Senate Bill 63 has now had its second reading and is up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senate Bill 63 is a bill which would authorize the establishment of a pilot charter school to be located in the Black Hills, to be focused upon the needs of Native American students. It would have would be a high school pilot project, would have roughly 110 or 115 students per grade level. This is a pilot school that would be under the guidance, if you will, of the Board of Education and the Department of Education. The plan to establish it would be submitted to the department, to the Board of Education, and approved by the Board of Education. The concept here is that this would be an applicant for the federal Race to the Top dollars. The department recognizes that is a long shot. It's a very competitive process that the federal government is going through for those dollars. But the department seemed to feel optimistic about its ability to find other funding sources if needed in the from alternative sources, perhaps other federal programs or private philanthropy. And with that, I would be glad to try and answer questions and urge the body to adopt this statute, which would authorize a pilot charter school for Native American students.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 63?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. Question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Thank you. As I'm going through this, I certainly believe in the concept. There's no doubt about that. But my question goes to the funding. It talks about that a financial plan for the first 3 years of the school's operation, so I assume that's what the grant's for. It then goes on that they can renew in 5 years, but it also outlines in the bill that you cannot, these schools do not generate or cannot request local property tax revenue from the school district in which the school resides. So my question is, what happens when the funding runs out? Locals do not have any accountability or responsibility to fund this. Where are those dollars going to come from?
Senator Knutson, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that the best way to think of this is assume the school has roughly 500 students in it. Those are students that are not attending other schools in South Dakota and would be counted, as I understand it, in a per pupil amount for this pilot project school. And that funding would be there. That statewide need would, those dollars would be spent regardless of whether these students are in the charter school or the public schools in the across South Dakota. In each case, the total number of students is the same, whether 500 of them are scattered across a variety of schools in South Dakota or concentrated in this pilot charter school. Now, the issue of how the charter school can make do without the typical capital outlay or other funds is an open one, and I'm not certain I could answer that. But I think that the base funding would just come from the per pupil amount. And, again, I don't see this as increasing the state's obligation because these students would be counted either in the local school districts or in the charter school either way.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hunahoff, you still have the floor if you wish it.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Well, that may well be, but somebody at the local level is going to have to fund this school district when the funds run out. So there won't be a local match. And, yes, those students would be in the school system, but you'd have a local match. So in responsibility here, the state is actually willing to take on additional funding. Once the funding for the race to the top runs out, then this becomes added cost through the Department of Education, which comes down to general dollars. You know, I caution us. We're all being faced as to what's happening here currently in the state. There's this opportunity out there, and that's what we're faced with. Everything we're dealing with in appropriations, that we have these grants, great opportunities, but when the dollars run out, then state, how can you discontinue that program? And we're asked to make serious decisions on this. Again, the concept is there. I just don't believe this is the time is right, and I would caution us in adopting this and moving forward with it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Gerstad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, colleagues in the Senate, I want to just say a few words about this particular bill and this project. As I sat in Senate Ed last week and heard the proposition, first of all, it came from the Department of Education, and I think there is a shot for them to get Race to the Top money, and that's a lot of money, and that would be a huge feather in our cap. If we don't get that money, they are still connected with foundations such as the Bush Foundation in order to go ahead with the construction. We're not looking at state funds for the construction of the facility. And I would assume that if they're hooked up with foundations, that that will be continual sourcing. I don't think there's any idea from this group, which I think Rick Milmer is also involved with at USD. USD is kind of backing part of this program. There's any idea that there's going to be continuous state funding except for the per pupil allocation, which would be there anyway. We are responsible for providing for every single pupil in the state. The excitement that I felt in listening to Stacey Phelps and Keith Moore talk about it was here two guys who are probably in the prime of their life, I mean 40-ish or something. They've grown up on Indian reservations. They have developed ways of teaching our Native American students, and also the emphasis is going to be on science and math and engineering, fields that are greatly, greatly needed, and that's another reason why we might have a shot at the fund for the Race for the Top funding. But I got the excitement because they are going to be connecting these students with their families and their communities back at home in a continuous way, and the hope being that they will go back as leaders, fully educated, and really able to help teach and direct their people. So it's the best way, I think, and I've ever heard of helping the Native American population, which we all know has struggled for so long and been a huge, not only a blight for South Dakota, but an economic problem. Just think of the economic turnaround. And you can say, well, I don't believe it's there. You can say that. I don't believe we should be doing this now. But I see a dream, and I see a great possibility of something fabulous happening out there. And I would urge all the members to have just a little faith, and you're not going to be holding the bag for left holding the bag here, and vote in favor of this bill.
Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Senator Knutson speaks a second time? Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I just want to respond to Senator Hunoff's question one more time, and I think she is asked a good question of what happens when the federal funding runs out. This is an issue that all of us worry about in any program. But again, I just want to make sure we understand the way the state K-12 funding formula works. Just imagine any school district. They've raised their local property taxes, and based upon the fall enrollment in that district, we've now added some additional state funds to get them to the per pupil amount in very round numbers, $5,000 per pupil, between property taxes and the state's contribution. Now just imagine one additional student shows up at that school. That is not going to raise the property taxes raised in that district. Those have already been determined. So that one extra student is going to be funded 100%, if you will, by state dollars, because all of the local property taxes have already been consumed. So again, these 500 students that are in the charter school, if they move away from this school district, that means that school district gets 5,000 fewer state dollars, because again, that isn't going to reduce the property taxes. So these students really are not adding to our overall burden. I still think Senator Hunoff's question is fair, and she points out that implicit in her question was, how is the charter school going to run purely on the per pupil amount, since we know local school districts have capital outlay and other additional funding sources. But in terms of the base funding, the presence or absence of the charter school will not impact our total state obligation at all.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Adelstein?
I support the two senators from Minnehaha County in their support of this bill. This grant is not a certainty, but if it should come to pass, Senator, Majority Leader clearly stated where the funds will come from. And as we go forward, the other senator from Sioux Falls made it clear that if we don't pay for the education of the students in this school, and let's talk openly, we're talking about students that have a 75% to 85% dropout, and let's talk also frankly, that are concentrated in our state penitentiary three times their portion in the state. If we don't pay for it in education, we will pay for it, and we will pay for it, and we will pay for it. I certainly hope that we can pass this bill to take an opportunity that we may not get, but we'll move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't want anybody to confuse my testimony, because I'm very much for this, but I don't know if you've thoroughly read the bill. I hear stuff propounding of how we're going to upgrade my children, my grandchildren's education. And I'm going to tell you something. This is of most importance to me. Now, if you look through the bill, there's a lot of things that I see very little input from the people it's going to affect. For instance, an outline of the criteria that will be used to measure the effectiveness of the school will be done by the local Board of Education that presents a plan to accept this school. Remember, this charter school is going to be run by the board that writes up a criteria and accepts it, that local board. Okay, and in this, it says in this It's going to be located in the Black Hills. I wonder, has somebody got that school board up there at Hill City, Custer, or Rapid City, or wherever it is? Is that school board locked in up there already to take on this charter school? I'm just kind of wondering here. More than anything in the world, being a teacher of 22 years, I want to raise those scores. But believe you me, that's what I want to accomplish. Now, I'm in no way going to vote against this. But I'm afraid, folks, I'm terribly afraid that when this is all done, are we going to accomplish what I want for my children and my grandchildren? Is this the avenue? I hope this is strictly adhered to in certain areas. For instance, that the students will be evaluated regularly to see that we're accomplishing what we have. I also see in here that it's students are admitted to this charter school in a selective process. Hey, wait a minute, folks. Who's going to decide whether my child gets to go? The school board? And I could see several schools that may not even have a Native American on their school board. Will they access me or some of our other people to decide who gets to go? I'm a little worried about the way it's composed. And I want to bring that out. Because sometimes there's a misconception between helping somebody in the light of building something or doing something and not really accomplishing what we want to do. What we want to do is do exactly as the good senator said, and my good friend from Rapid City said, we want to make sure this helps those kids get better. I wish that, and myself, I'm not trying to any way detour what we're trying to do. This is a great thing. And I also understand what the good senator from Yankton brought out. What might happen if because I see in here there's a 5-year on this and then it has to be renewed. If the funding all of a sudden changes, all of a sudden this has become some drain, this school board may not renew this. So then are we really accomplishing what we want for the future for students? I have to get up and say that. I have to get up and say all this as to get to the point of this good body of legislatures doing what it wants to do. Everyone in here, I don't think there's anybody in here doesn't have in their heart a concern for the achievement gap between Native American students and the non. I just hope that this accomplishes it. Because what this does, it sets a precedent. If this school does not accomplish what we're setting out to do, there sure won't be any more, will there? But if it does, if it really makes a step in the right direction, then we can all pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, we did something. We don't have to go back in a few years and say, you know, we made a big mistake. All I'm saying is, I think we really have to watch where this is going. We have to be involved. And all of a sudden I see some things in here that doesn't keep those of us who are really concerned involved. I don't know if I've really explained how much and how important what we're trying to accomplish is to me. You know, I wish that I have made it known that I want to sit down with the new lady. I just met her. I was called out of the Indian Education for us in the state of South Dakota. And she is very, very concerned. She wants to visit with me on a one-on-one basis. She knows that I'm very, very concerned. And as I look about in the listening to what I have to say, I just want you to know I'm only interested in a better education for my children, my grandchildren, and all my relatives. And I hope this is a great answer to that. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator Garnos.
Thank you, Mr. President. When Native American issues come up, one of the first people I always ask and go to is Jim Bradford. To speak on the floor today, I probably can't give justice to what we heard in the committee the other day from Keith Moore, Stacy Phelps, and I look to those two gentlemen as some of the youngest, brightest minds in Native American education. And what they bring to the table was close to 20 years of experience. And I think what we saw today on the floor, from the mechanics that Senator Knudsen explained to the funding questions of Senator Hunhoff to the vision, dreams, and hopes that Senator Gerstad brought to the table, and the experience and the realism and the pragmatism that comes from Representative or Senator Bradford. All those things are mixed into one ball. And I think, and I would ask the body as a whole as we go forward here, is to look at all those. I mean, if you would have been in committee that day, you would have felt your spine tingle. I believe I heard Senator Gray say this is something that's maybe a little bit special. And I think it is, because what we're trying to target and what we're looking at is one of the groups in South Dakota that personally I think we need to step up to the plate, try a little harder. Sure, there are questions about this. Sure, not all the answers are there. But you know what? If we don't get out there and try, if we don't try to move forward in a direction such as this, I think we really miss the point. And one of the things that I'll end with is Stacy Phelps, the young man who had an abundance of education from a background in engineering to working in the Gear Up program, which started in 1992, and the program takes Native American students. It puts them on a college campus setting. And one of the questions we asked in the committee, well, tell us the big picture here. What's the plan for these students? Why do we want them to have emphasis in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and the American Indian culture. And what the goal, the ultimate goal, is to put those students, put those people to have a degree and go back into their community. Who knows if they'll ever go back there for sure, but that was the goal. I think all of us know one of the core fundamentals in building communities, you need to get people to come back in your community, not only to be educated, that's very important, but to have passion. And for passions, that's going to make your people better. I think this is just the beginning of this. So I would leave you with, hopefully we can all support this, send this message over to the House. Thank you very much.
Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Senator Knudsen speaks again? Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, first, I think I perhaps got the cart before the horse in referring to this as being located in the Black Hills. I don't know that that location has been determined, and I do apologize for suggesting that. Obviously, that we can assume that this will be located someplace close to the student population it's intended to serve, but I probably was incorrect in saying that it would be in the Black Hills because I don't know that that has been determined. And I certainly appreciate the heartfelt comments from Senator Bradford and the comments of Senator Garnos. I think that the key to this whole project is the success that we have seen in South Dakota through our Gear Up program. As Senator Garnos alluded to, the testimony in the Senate Education Committee was quite striking in terms of the very outstanding performance levels that have been achieved by those students who have gone through the Gear Up program. Senator Bradford referred to the gap in performance between Native American students and other students in South Dakota. And the Gear Up program has just done a remarkable job for those students who have participated in that program. And I think in many respects, this pilot charter school gives us an opportunity to expand the Gear Up program, which is essentially a summer program, into a full-time high school program. I do think this represents a real opportunity for South Dakota and our citizens.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Seeing none, the question is Senate Bill 63. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling? Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
No.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
No.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 34 ayes, 4 nays, 1 excused.
Say again, Madam Secretary.
34 ayes, 4 nays, 1 excused. 30 ayes, 4 nays, 1 excused. I combined.
Thank you. Senate Bill 63 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is agreed to. Senator Brown asks the Senate welcome to the Senate gallery Georgia Manjin and Janet Cronin, who are accompanying the Gettysburg Weeblow Boy Scouts. Would you all stand and be recognized? Welcome. Without objection, we're going to revert back to Order of Business 5 to take one more report from a standing committee. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we'll then revert back to Order of Business 5.
Mr. President, the Committee on Commerce respectfully reports has had under consideration Senate Bill 3, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Russell Olson, Chair.
Now, that concludes our business. I have one announcement just as a reminder. We're nearing the deadline for final introduction of individual bills. By 5 o'clock today, LRC requests, bill requests be in, and by noon tomorrow, those bills must be introduced at the front desk. Are there any other announcements? Senator Edelstein?
Before I make an announcement for tomorrow morning, a point of personal privilege.
Yes, that's granted.
A little earlier, when I met with these Cub Scouts, I said, could you believe that once upon a time I was a Cub Scout, and they looked doubtful. The den mother thought it possible. Would everyone in this chamber that was once a Cub Scout please stand up? Or you all, or a leader, or den mother? You see? It happens.
Thank you, Senator. Point well made.
Tomorrow morning, Health and Human Services for a busy session at 7:45.
7:45. Thank you. Other announcements? Senator Dempster?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate State Affairs, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Thanks.
Senator Tom Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Taxation Committee will meet at 10 o'clock as usual, but I especially call your attention to the fact that we will meet in room 423 tomorrow rather than 412 where we ordinarily meet. Room 423 for Senate Taxation at 10 o'clock.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government will meet tomorrow in 412. We kicked out the Tax Committee, so we get 412 for the day. We'll be having a presentation on some electronic systems and different software for some voting issues with Senate Bill 101. So it will be quite interesting. Tomorrow, local government, 412, 10 o'clock.
Senator Valley.
Senate Transportation, 7:45. You got a full schedule. Thank you.
Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Catacomb Caucus in the morning, room 412 at 6:30. We have a special guest, a circuit riding preacher from the old west town of Union Center, will be speaking there. Thank you.
Senator Nostrup.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tomorrow at 8:15, the Appropriation Committee meets. We're going to be discussing, we'll have the Investment Council there, the Retirement Group, the Legislative Audit, and Department of Agriculture at 8:15 tomorrow, Appropriation Committee.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Anything further? Seeing none, a motion to adjourn is in order.
Senator Gary Hansen moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
Is there a second? Motion is to adjourn. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're adjourned.